Those of you who've been in the church over the last few weeks will know that we've been looking at the Old Testament descriptions and names of God. And the one we are got to today is that God is a jealous God. Have any of you got something that is your prized possession? Maybe you can think of something that you hold very special. It may be your car that's fairly new to you and hasn't yet had a shopping trolley in the car park go into it. It's always that first dent, isn't there? Normally you think, how did that get there? Or maybe it's something you have crafted and made and you think it is special. And you're very reluctant to let somebody else use this or take it in case they damage it. Maybe you've had somebody come to your house and they are treating some of your property not as you would choose to treat it. And you're thinking, can I say something? Shall I say something? Maybe I shouldn't say something. Maybe it's impolite. But as they go, you're quickly out with the cleaning stuff to put it all back exactly as it was before. Prized possessions are something that we hold very special. The second commandment is, you shall have no idols before me. You put nothing before me, says God. And I want to just suggest some reasons why God wants to be put first. Why God wants to be first in our lives. We've heard some great stories this morning. Thank you to each one who was brave enough to tell their stories. Wasn't it great? How God takes hold of lives and transforms them. It's brilliant. But I want to tell you why God wants to be put first. And the first reason God wants to be put first is, he made you. God created you. You are not an accident. God made you. That's why he wants to be first, because he made you. The psalmist says he knitted us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not that good at creative things. Anything I make does not look as good as something that somebody else would make. I've said before, flowers, give me the same number of flowers, they will not look anything like those who are crafty, can actually make a flower arrangement look. Give me something to colour in, it will not look at all good. I have not got a creative bone in my body. But I know people who have. And where those people who make things, who can create things, the one thing they know is how it best works. They know what is best for it. Those who created the flowers, you know, I mean, flowers, pretty side up, boring side down. That's about it. And you know, that works. But apparently you're meant to do all sorts of things with flowers, just to keep them living longer. You're meant to cut the stem off, apparently, so I'm told. Last time I did that, I broke the kitchen scissors. It's never going to happen again. I was in trouble. And then they come around and they spray it. I say, let us pray. They say, let us spray. It's just... But they know how best to look after the flowers. The person who created a piece of machinery may be recreated and brought back from the ruins of a vintage car. They know it. And you talk to people who have done those sorts of things, they can be ever so informative about what they have created, can't they? They tell you all the technical things about it. You know, it's got such and such an engine, and it got, and do you know how I put this together? And they can be so exciting to talk to on the subjects of the car they have restored. But they know it best. Why does God want to be put first? Because he made you. He knows you best. because he knows you best, he wants to be first to make sure that you are looked after. The second reason God wants to be put first is because he loves you. He loves you. The Bible is full of stories about God's love. But the one verse that we all know is from John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But this morning we could be saying, for God so loved Gail. For God so loved Will. For God so loved Edward. For God so loved Aminola. All those would be true. And for God so loved, he gave his only son. Just for a moment, just think this verse through in your mind, but put your own name instead of world. For God so loved you, he gave his only son. Why does God want to be put first? Well, he loves you more than anybody else possibly could. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you when you're lost, he comes to find you. He loves you when you're down, he comes to lift you up. He loves you when you're in trouble, he comes to support you. He loves you when you're hurting, he comes to embrace you. He loves you when you feel weak, he comes to strengthen you. His love is beyond any love you can ever experience. And that's why God wants you to put him first. Because he loves you. Third reason God wants you to put him first is because he knows what's best for you. In this reading that Ian read, thank you, Ian, it has that verse about those who come and try to steal, the thieves that come to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life. And life in all its fullness. God wants to be put first because he knows what is absolute best for you. The number of times I've made decisions and found they haven't worked, and I have seen why God has taken me on a different journey. It's been a journey sometimes that's been full of pain. It's sometimes those moments of rebellion. But God knows what's best for us. Fourth reason God wants to be put first is the reason that he sent his son to die for you. As we go into this Christmas season, on this Advent Sunday, as we talk about the coming of light into our darkness, hope into our despair, we are celebrating those things. And Jesus will come. But we need to remember that the whole theme around Christmas that we'll be remembering through carol services, through all kinds of things that go on in this building over the next 24 days, yes, 24 days till Christmas Day. And for the insomniacs, that's four sleeps. But Christmas story is completed at the cross and the resurrection. Jesus came to save us. And the reason God wants to be put first is he sent his son to die for you. Can you think of anybody else who's done something that great? The fifth reason that God wants to be put first is because he wants to protect you. Oh, there are those who are out to destroy us, to hurt us. There's those who at the moment, and I'm going to be very careful in this next moment as we go into the next last 10 days before the election. Isn't it been exciting watching the media? Oh, what are we going to do after the election? What's going to fill the airwaves? And they're all promising all sorts of things, and actually as a cartoon I saw once, saw a couple of weeks ago, which says, "Does all fairy tales begin with once upon a time?" To which a wise father says, "No, some fairy tales begin when I get elected." They're promising all sorts of things, but actually, if we're being honest with ourselves, we know that no one of them can keep every promise they have made. The past has shown us that, and the future will show us that. But God made a promise to always be there for us, to protect us. And that's a promise he has kept, and he will continue to keep, and will continue to give you. And so, why does God want you to put him first? Because he made you, he loves you, he wants the best for you. He sent his son to die for you, he wants to protect you. And then because he wants you to have life, and life in all its fullness. Look, don't look at the media and what they say about Christianity. They often caricature Christianity as boring, miserable, and a load of thou shalt nots. Let me tell you what Jesus came to do. He came to bring life, and life in all its fullness. Do you know, you're made in the image of God. Do you have a sense of humour? Well, some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us, our humour's a bit dodgy. But do you know, God has a sense of humour. We are made in his image. Laughter is good. Fun is good. It's okay as a Christian to enjoy life. It's okay to dance. It's okay to do all kinds of things. But God has given a framework for that. That the way we do it will be good for us and bring us life, and life in all its fullness. Don't believe the myth that become a Christian and become boring. Will, I can't see you ever being boring. And I praise God for that. What I can see is when we put our lives into the hands of God, he takes our character, who we are, and he enables us to be the best of us we can be. He wants us to reach our full potential, not to be miserable. If you meet somebody who says they're a Christian and miserable, get them to read the Bible again. Get them to see what God's saying. You see, God wants you to have the best, and that's why he wants you to put him first, because only he can bring out the best in you. Only he can develop them. Another reason God wants you to put him first is he wants you to have a new beginning. All of us have made mistakes, haven't we? All of us, in some way or another in the past, have found ourselves in a mess. The stories we heard this morning were about people who came to a realization that to reach fullness, they needed God in their lives, and how Christ took hold of them and transformed them and moved them on to being the best they could be. And God came and he gives us new beginnings. We've seen it enacted through the waters of baptism. Do you remember when I was describing it? It was the dying, burying, coming back to new life. That sense of the transformation of a person, their old sinful self going, the new life coming. That transformation. And putting God first is about God saying to you, I want to offer you a new start, a new beginning. Not that you have to worry and deal with the old, I'm going to bury that, I'm going to let that go. It's a new beginning that you and God together can reach your full potential. Another reason God wants you to put him first is God's not about abusing and hurting you. There's so many things in life that come to destroy our lives, isn't there? And people who put their hope in them find themselves broken and destroyed, whether that's, as Will's story was, the drugs and the abuse of the past, to others who try to control and structure you. God's way of dealing with us is through love. And that's not love that says, if you do this, I will love you. We've all come across that sound of love, haven't we? If you behave yourself, then I will love you. If you carry out this action, I will love you. It's not a love that says, I love you because you did this thing. God's love is a love that looks at you right now and says, Fred, hello Fred, sorry. He's trying to pick a name that nobody here is. Joe, whatever. Whatever your name is, he looks at you and he says, do you know something? I love you. And my love for you is one that I do not want to control you or abuse you. I want to invest my spirit in you that you can reach your full potential. Have you got God out of focus in your life at the moment? Have you got God out of focus? You've got a view of God that's wrong. God does not come to abuse or hurt you. And another reason God wants you to put him first is because there's no better way for us to be fully human. Right back in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created humankind in his image, you and me. He's been doing that job of creation and recreation down the millennia. And he wants each of us to be fully human, fully alive, and fully transforming us. So God is a jealous God, but not through a selfish purpose of trying to say, I'm jealous, I don't want any rivals. Because there is no rival to God. He is Lord, King of Kings, Sovereign. God is a jealous God. Because, as with all the Ten Commandments, he gave them for a purpose of community and a purpose of well-being. And the final reason I want to give this morning why God is a jealous God is he doesn't want us ever to have second best. God does not want one of us to have second best. Second best is anything in our lives where God's not in control. We might think we're taking control. And maybe recently you've moved away from God and you're feeling down and depressed and struggling. Let me tell you what that is. Second best. It's second best because you're trying to live in a way you were not designed to live. You're not created to live. And I want to ask you, are you happy going forward in a life of second best? Have you ever bought something and you looked at the range and you thought, oh, I like that one, but that'll do. Got it home and thinking, I wish I'd bought the other one. And throughout all the time you've had it, you thought, I wish I'd bought the other one. That's second best. And I believe today there are many people living second best life. And they think they're in control, but they know they're not. They're going downwards. They're struggling. It's causing tension in relationships. It's causing them to feel unhappy, unsatisfied. It's causing them to try and find a purpose for life and therefore looking in places where they maybe shouldn't look. That's second best. God is a jealous God because he doesn't want you to have second best. He wants you to have the absolute best. And the absolute best is when God is a part of our lives, helping us through troubles, helping us when we're going through doubt, helping us when we're in trying to just find a way through something. That's what God wants to do. And I want to ask you today, as we come towards a conclusion, is it time to stop doing second best? Is it time to stop being satisfied with what's not the best in your life? And if it is, do something about it. Do something about it. That might be swallowing pride. It might be letting go of something. It might be recognizing that something has gone wrong. But do something about it today. God is a jealous God. But he's not jealous as in controlling. He's jealous because that possession, that creation, that wonderful thing that God created, he wants the best for it. He wants each one of us to reach our full potential. And our full potential is reached when he takes control